Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Now we get to the example of Christ that we often point out. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Then we go through the passage about what he has done and why he did it. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. See, you get that word right in the middle of this. Being made in human likeness. All right? And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. What does Hebrews 12 say about the why? Anybody remember? There's a scripture I'm thinking about right near the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. See, his joy, he had a source of joy that had nothing to do with what he was having to go through to get there. And his joy wasn't, man, I'm going to get to sit on a throne and everybody look at me. No, it was, look what I can do. Look at how I can reach into the bottom of that barrel and pull sinners out and give them life and bring them to here to become part of God's family. He didn't have to do any of this. He had it all to begin with. He's the one who spoke the universe into existence. God put that in his charge. Go make some other galaxies. That was the one who came down and lived as a servant and went so far beyond what we think of as a servant. He went to the cross. Praise God, my sin put him there. So did yours. Therefore, now God will take care of the honors. But Paul wasn't seeking honor in the sense that, boy, I really want to be somebody great in heaven. His focus was on what he could do for others. Over and over you get that thought. Therefore, God exalted him, Christ, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And there's a scripture here that I kind of have not really connected, like I feel like God wants to this context. Again, So much of what we have preached about the Christian life is about the what. What is the Christian life? And then how do we live it? Those two questions get answered a lot. And that's what I've tended to answer through verses 12 and 13. But think about the context. How does somebody like me, selfish, born into a selfish race, it's all about me, my little universe. How does God take somebody like me and make me like him? And what is that? What does that mean to be like him? That means the focus of my life is not me. It's those to whom I have given. He gives me abilities that are meant to help you. But he gives you abilities that are meant to help me. I need you as much as you need me. It's not a matter of who's important. We're all unimportant and important in different senses. But we all matter. So listen to this in the context of going beyond the what and the how to the why. All right? Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We've often pointed out you got to have something in order to work it out. He's talking about a divine work that only God can do. When we surrender and he truly takes over and comes in, then there's something in here that can be worked out. It means we need to take that and put it into action, into a living action in our lives. It's not meant to sit there. Okay, work it out. For it, why? In other words, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his great purpose. But God's purpose is more than just that I be a successful Christian. In a very individualistic sense, it's that I absolutely become a functioning member of the body of Christ. Think about Ephesians 4. I'm not going to go ahead and turn there, but you know, we've leaned into chapter 4 by going to the end of chapter 3 a couple of times recently. But he begins with the body of Christ and the fact that God is going to bring the body to full fruition, but he makes the emphasis as each part does its work. Well, what's its work? I got to grow up. No, wait a minute. I am here to serve. I'm here to be a channel of God's life to the rest of the body according to whatever gift God, whatever ability God's given me. And you put that into practice and you have every member learning that and walking in that, and I'll tell you, you got life flowing and growing, and you got a whole lot going on that's absolutely what God is after. It's not about learning correct theology and practicing in some outward religion. God help us. God wants to take us deeper. I'm so glad that God has got the word in here, I mean, that he helps to define salvation just a whole lot deeper than I've thought about it. And I believe that many of us need to have needed to see this in a deeper way. But I'm so glad he's the one who works. Because he's got a challenge overcoming my weakness and even my will. But he works in me to will and to do. So I got every reason to cooperate with him, to believe in him, to trust in him, to know that he is going to give me everything I need. But I need to understand this. We're not just mindless creatures trying to somehow muddle through. God wants people who understand where he's going with all this. So we understand what the Christian life is about. We understand how to live it. It's Christ in me. And I lean upon him and I choose to believe in his power that helps me do whatever it is I need to do. But then I need to refocus and say, wait a minute, this isn't just about me being a successful Christian. So I can say, hey, look at me. This is about God repurposing me from a self-centered, self-seeking individual. Repurposing me so that I don't live for myself, I live for him, for you, and you live for me. God help us. God teach us what that means. This is the journey of a lifetime. There's no way you can say, oh, come down here and you'll get it all tonight. But this is something where I think we need to take this to the Lord and say, God, help me to understand what this is about. Help me to understand where my place is. It's not just about, okay, what's my gift? Why? Why do you want a gift? Why do we want to do anything in the Christian life? Why do we want all these things? It's because God's called me to be a servant. God's called you to be a servant. May God give us the grace to seek him, to understand, to call upon him, to say, Lord, teach us these deeper things that we need to know so that we can be we can grow up to be what you want. You have purposed to do a work that will continue until the day of Jesus Christ. But I got a part to play in that. He wants me to seek him, to look to him, to understand what's going on and how he wants me to participate in that purpose of his and to lean into his ability to do it. But he wants my motivation to be completely flipped. I was born into this world a selfish being. All I cared about really was me. How am I doing? What do people think of me? How do I feel? Am I circumstances happy or bad or sad? My universe revolves around me. God wants to completely flip the script and say, I'll take care of all of that. Even if you die or have to go through something in order to do what I want, my life is going to flow through you and it's going to have eternal results, because without me, you can do nothing. But of course, with him, we can do all things, can't we? I just praise God. I praise him and just pray that he'll take this and do whatever he wants to with it. There's a depth in this that is, you got to sit there and think about this one and do some praying and, Lord, help me to grow in this understanding. Because God has called every one of us to be a servant, to get our joy, not through self-centered things. Oh, how we let our joy depend upon how we're doing and how we're feeling and what our perception is and, oh God, how am I doing? And just lay all that aside and say, Lord, I cast that upon you. And even if I've messed up yesterday, I can forget that and go on. I can reach for all that you've called me to. You called me to be a servant. I can reach for that. You called me to serve others. That's where I get my joy. If you're having a hard time, I'm not happy. I'm not off in a corner saying, I'm happy. What's the matter with you? If God's given me the ability to minister to you in some fashion that would lift you up and make you, bring you to a better place, that's where my joy should come from. That's where your joy should come from. Well, everyone performing their part in the body of Christ. And I'll tell you, God's going to take us to a much better place than we can ever imagine. And we won't be like we were born into this world. We're going to be transformed into his image. But his image is a whole lot more than we've kind of considered, I think. There's a deeper understanding of what that means. And I want to take hold of that and just say, Lord, you called a mess here. You're the only one that can take this mess and turn it into something that makes any difference. But you're able. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us. He is able if we're willing. So to him be the glory. I just lay this out there and let the Lord do with it what he will, but I believe he's got higher ground for all of us. We tend to think of it, oh, big feelings, great miracles, all this. God can do those things if that's his purpose. But the biggest miracle I need is for him to transform me so that I can actually be a vessel for something like that if the need calls for it. Without going off the rails because I begin to think highly of myself. We got every reason in the world to realize that we are nothing and yet loved beyond measure. Praise God. That's what Jesus thought. His joy was from what he was able to do for the people that are sitting here tonight. He was there in the midst of all that suffering, and yet there was a joy on the inside. What I'm doing is going to save people, and they're going to be sitting in the Bible Tabernacle on, what is this, June 22nd, 2024. Think about that. God had you and me in mind, and Jesus did. And there was joy in the midst of all that suffering because of where he was going with it. To God be the glory. May he make us like him. Praise God.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.